it? And there are a lot of churches today that don't have any young people, but I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us with different young people here who like to sing, and we need to encourage them in that. We need to encourage them to sing. And it will not only be a great blessing for us, but in the years to come. Doesn't it say in the scriptures, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. And so these hymns that we sing, that we train our children to sing, will not leave them for the years to come. That's a wonderful blessing. If you have a copy of God's Word this evening, I invite you to take it and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27 this evening. And I just want to look at one verse, which will be the theme really for our message tonight. And I was blessed yesterday when we went down to Beaches Road, and we took a minibus of different ones that could come. I know other people made their own way, which was a blessing too, from here, but it was nice to have that fellowship together on the minibus. And on the way we were talking, as we were going down, we were talking about family members who had passed away unexpectedly. And some of Hazel's family would perhaps know the gentleman that we're talking about tonight. Her cousin, when he was 19 years old, just, is it earlier this year, Hazel? March this year. He was 19 years old, and he got in the car, having drunk too much, and he killed himself by driving into a wall. And that was it. His life was over. And I, my friend tonight, I don't want to talk to you this evening to try and frighten you about death. But I do, as a gospel preacher, I do believe that we need to be very clear that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And maybe there's some young people here tonight who want to live life, and I'm thankful you want to live life. But I want to warn you, we don't know how much longer we have left, do we? Time is very, very short. And you don't know, my friend, tonight, young or old, if you will have another opportunity to come to Christ. That's why we do what we do in this chapel. That's why we have the minibus going out to pick up children, is because we don't know how much longer they'll have left to come to Christ. Let's just pray tonight before we go any further. And we'll read our verse this evening in just a moment. But let's pray. Oh, our God, the most mighty God, the only Saviour. Lord, we're told in thy word there's none else. There is none else. There's no other Saviour beside thee. Oh, we pray this evening, Lord, come. Move amongst us this evening. May there be a real sense of conviction of sin tonight, of life, and how frail and fragile it is. May young and old tonight, whoever in this meeting isn't saved, may they come to Christ, we pray. Pray for those, Lord, maybe who are watching on the live stream, who perhaps never even dreamed of hearing such a message of this tonight, Lord. May you speak to them, we pray. Reach sinners, we pray, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me read that again for you. This is Solomon speaking, the wisest man on earth, who lived a life of luxury. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I've got all my life ahead of me. I've got everything planned. I've got everything sorted. I know where I'm going to go to university. I know what I'm going to do as a job. I've got it all covered tonight. This is a man that got truly everything that he could ever want. In fact, we read throughout the writings that he wrote in Ecclesiastes, he tells us he had houses, he planted gardens. He had everything that you could possibly imagine that any young man would want. And yet, you know what he said, my friend, this evening? He said all of it was vanity. All of it was empty. None of it made any difference. And my friend, I don't care what plans you have for your life this evening. It doesn't bother me if you think, my friend, this evening that you've got all your life ahead of you. And I pray right at this moment that God would arrest your heart. That you would listen to what God has to say. Because I want to tell you, my friend, something this evening. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have it guaranteed. You don't have even tonight guaranteed. There have been many people, my friend, who've gone away from a meeting like this. They've gone in their car and driven away. And that's it. Life was over. There have been many people that had all their life ahead of them planned out. And then God brought something into their life and it was all changed. In a moment. In a second. There have been many people that have had plans and programs all sorted. And then they found out weeks later they've been diagnosed with cancer. And life is over. My friend, tonight life is very short. And you have one meeting, my friend, tonight to be ready for. And that's a meeting with God. And I'm very serious about this tonight, because you could be in this meeting tonight, and you could be in this meeting knowing that you need to be right with God. And maybe even some of you tonight, I know some of you tonight have heard this message hundreds of times, and you know you need to be right with God, and you know you need to be saved, but you're not saved yet. And my friend, my heart breaks for you, because there could be a time in which you walk out those doors and you never come back, and you'll never hear the gospel again. My heart breaks for those, and my heart is guilty for those who I have sat with, who I have spoken to, and I have tried to talk to about the gospel, and now they're no longer to be found in a place like this. My heart grieves for people like that. When are we going to take it seriously tonight? Whatever age you are in life, when are you going to take it seriously tonight? You have a meeting with God, and you don't know when it is. And you need to be ready for it tonight. You need to be ready for that meeting. My friend, tonight, are you ready for the meeting with God? Now look what it says. This is what Solomon said. Verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's what a lot of young people do today, and old people do, don't they? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. My friend, tonight, I want to tell you, there are a lot of people in this world today who are boasting of tomorrow. They've got plans, haven't they? They've got programs. They've got all sorts of ideas. There are a lot of people today in power who are boasting of tomorrow. Just recently, a group of countries, you don't need me to tell you what they are, we're one of them, signed a big deal, didn't they? To work together. And they're boasting, we could say, of tomorrow. They've got great plans for the future. But my friend, we do not know what a day may bring forth. We don't. We don't have a clue. And my friend and I wonder, what are you boasting about tomorrow? What are you looking forward to about tomorrow? Maybe you're looking forward to that time when you can be free from your parents. When you can be free from being under their command, as it were. You can be free to do what you want, to go where you want, to live how you want to live. Maybe that's what you're longing for. You're longing for that day when all the voices of authority are gone and you're just on your own and you're living in your own place and everything what you can do, you can do it yourself. You can watch as much TV as you want to watch. You can go to what clubs and places you want to go to. You don't care. And you're longing for that. My friend, Solomon the wisest man said, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. For you do not know what a day may bring forth. Hazel was telling me on the way down to Birmingham yesterday as we were riding down to Beaches Road. She was talking about her cousin. 19 years old. Had all of his life ahead of him. Planned, everything sorted, and then in a moment it was taken from him. My friend, tonight this is serious, because in that moment, I know his name was Dean, I don't know how young Dean stood with the Lord, but in that moment his life was over, wasn't it? He didn't have it any longer. Solomon said, do not boast of tomorrow. Now look what it says. This is why you shouldn't boast of tomorrow. Look what it says in our text. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know. You know, my friend, can I tell you something? Man is very frail and fragile, because you and I cannot control what happens tomorrow. And we can't control what's happened in the future, as it were. It's done. In the past, sorry. It's done. It's finished. I can't change what I did yesterday. It's over. The life that I lived yesterday, as it says in Psalm 90, we live our lives as a tale that is told, as a tale that's written. That way I lived yesterday is over, it's finished. I can't get it back. I can't get back what I said yesterday to people. I can't get back where I went yesterday. It's gone, it's finished. No more. And my friend, the only thing really I have control in is right now, don't I? The only thing, my friend, I could say, humanly speaking, that I can control in a sense is my life at this very moment. I'm here this evening. I'm preaching the gospel to you, but in a moment I could decide I'm going to sit down, my message is over, I'm finished. In a sense, I could do that. I'm not going to do that, by the way, but I could. But I can't control tomorrow. I can't control after this meeting. Those things are completely out of my hand. I don't know what might happen with this chapel building. I can't control it, can I? You can't control it. I don't know what might happen in Welshpool. I can't control what the government might do. All of those things are out of my hand. I am powerless to control those things. And not only am I powerless, but look what it says in verse number 1. For thou knowest not. Can I tell you, a lot of people out there today who think they're wise in many ways. Oh, they're wise. They think they've got everything figured out. They've got all things written down. They know all things. They're clever people. But let me tell you, there's one thing that man, however clever, or woman, however clever they think they might be, they do not know, and they cannot know what will happen in the future. You know, there are a lot of people today who are trying to work out things, aren't they? And they're trying to work and control things to how they want things to be. But let me tell you, man will always fail. He can't control what happens in the future. It's impossible. It's out of our hands. And the only one, my friend this evening, the only one that knows the beginning to the end is God himself. That's what it says in Psalm 90 this evening. This is what it says, a psalm of Moses. This is what it says before it gets to about talking about how our lives are a tale that is told. This is what it says. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. My friend, can I tell you something this evening? The only thing that is certain in our world today is God. The only thing that is sure in our world today is what God has done. And the only one tonight that knows the future and what a day may bring forth is God. And that's the one in whom we have to do with tonight in the gospel. That's the one who your life has to answer to tonight. That's the one in who you have to turn to tonight. That's the one in who you have to deal with tonight. That's the one in who you have to be judged by tonight. And I want to tell you with all my heart in this gospel meeting, the only one that knows all things is God. And we've got to be ready to meet him. Are you ready for it tonight? Now, I want to draw your attention back to our text, because I want to look tonight at three people who, perhaps we could say, who didn't know what tomorrow would bring and how it changed their lives in that moment, in that instant. And I hope tonight that one of these three people will speak to you about your life. Because my prayer tonight, and we pray before this meeting, is that somebody would be saved. And my friend, if you're a Christian in this meeting tonight, I hope you're praying. Spurgeon used to have hound dogs. That's what he used to call them. And they were people who were spiritual, who looked around, and they were praying for people under conviction. I hope tonight, if you're a Christian here tonight, that you'll be a hound dog, as it were. You'll be looking to see who is being moved upon by God, who is uncomfortable, as it were, who you can pray for. I hope you'll do that tonight. But here, in our text, this is what it says. It says, we do not know what a day may bring forth. Let's look tonight at three, a few different people. We're going to say three, but we may do a couple of extra as well, as time goes on. And I'm looking at the clock. I'm thankful it's that way and not this way. That's good. Acts chapter 5. Let's look firstly at a man who played with time. Who thought he had all time he could in the world and thought he could play with God. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that are playing with God. Oh, you treat God like he's something that you can play with, some person you can come to when you need help, you can lie to, as it were, you can cover up as you really want to do. But let me tell you, the God in whom we have to do, you can't play with. Acts chapter 5, we meet the man called Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. And these two professing Christians, we could say, they were there part of this early church, and they brought in that time, they brought to the church their offerings. Now, I'm not saying, my friend, this evening, do not get me wrong, you do not bring an offering to God to be saved. You do not bring something to God. You bring nothing to God. But here were these two men, this married couple, we could say, who try to play with time. They try to, as it were, they try to play with God. And this is what we find about Ananias and Sapphira. Here they were, the Bible says, they kept back of the price of a property which they had sold. They sold a possession and they kept back a part of the price and they gave it privily to the church, to the apostles. In other words, it wasn't the fact that they gave just part of it, as it were, but the fact was, my friend, they tried to pretend to be something they weren't. They were playing with time. They were playing with God. And the Bible tells us they came and they did what they could. They tried to look good before God and before other people. But at that very moment, the Bible says, Peter says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" In other words, why are you playing with God? I want to ask you, my friend, this evening, are you playing with God? Pretending to be something you're not? Oh, you come into church, you're all dressed up in the right suit and the boot, as it were. You carry your Bible with you, you know where to find things. But my friend, are you playing with God tonight? Look what the Bible says. In that moment, God revealed the very heart of Ananias, and he said, "Why are you lying to God? Why are you pretending to be something you're not?" And in that very moment, as he thought that day, perhaps early in the day, "I'm going to do this, as it were, I'm going to try this to look good before God." At that very, very moment, this is what the Bible says. In verse number 5, it says, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost." He died. The very moment he thought that he could pretend to be something he wasn't and play with God and play with time, was the very moment, my friend, can I tell you, that his life was over. He didn't know what a day brought forth. My friend, that you might be here, and your excuses you think might be valid why you can't come to Christ. Your excuses might be good in your mind. You might be pretending before others to be something that you're not. But let me tell you, there's a coming a day when life will be over in a moment. Look what it says. It says, "Ananias, hearing these things," we could read verse 4, "while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. He gave up the ghost. He died. In the very moment when he thought he could try and look something he wasn't, his life was over. And we could read further on about his wife. When she came, she again lied. And the Bible tells us that in verse 10, she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Death came. Boast not yourself, my friend, of tomorrow. You know they were boasting. They thought they could play with God. They thought they could play with time. But their life was over. My friend tonight, are you playing with God? Are you messing around with God this evening? Because your life will be over in a moment. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We could look at somebody else tonight who was trying to play with time or play with God. Luke chapter 12. And we read the parable, don't we, of the rich young ruler. The rich farmer. And the Bible tells us, I know we've got some farmers here tonight, I'm not applying this to them. But Luke chapter 12, and the Bible tells us about this young man that had, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, this young man that had a piece of ground. He was rich, and the Bible says he was doing well, and he had so much fruit that he almost needed more ground, more space to grow. And the Bible says in that very moment, this is what he says he do. He says, "I will build, pull down my barns, I'll build greater," verse 18, "and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I've got plenty of time. I can play with God. I can play with how God is. I can play with how God is, as it were, what God's doing. But look what it says in verse 20. "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." He thought he had plenty of time. He thought it was okay. But in a moment his life was over. Oh, my friend tonight, are you playing with God? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. There's another man who got extra time. Look with me in 2 Kings in chapter 20. We could read of another man who in grace, we could say, his life was to be over. And we read of this in 2 Kings chapter 20. He was a king, Hezekiah. And the Bible says, in those days, in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah was sick unto death. He knew he was weak. Perhaps it came off on him suddenly. That's how death often comes, isn't it? Sudden. That's how sickness often comes. It's sudden. Unexpected. Knew of a man just recently who passed away because he had cancer, but it came very suddenly. It came within weeks, and he was gone. And in the days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah came in verse number 1, and he says to him, "Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." It was certain. His life was over. His life was finished. His life was fixed. He couldn't boast of tomorrow, because tomorrow wasn't going to be brought forth. My friend, I wonder tonight, are you faced with reality that your life will soon be over? Set thy house in order. You're ready. You need to prepare, the Lord says to Hezekiah. Set it in order. The house that he was living in, and the family that would go on to take it, his sons and Israel, was in a mess. I know Hezekiah walked with the Lord, but we read of Manasseh, who reigned, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, the following king. That moment, time was running out. Maybe, my friend, tonight, time's running out for you. You don't want to come, but time's running out for you. You try to get away from it, but you can't get away from it. Set thy house in order, he says, for thou shalt die. And the Bible tells us he turned his face to the wall, verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord. He beseeched the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse number 4, the Lord says to Isaiah, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah," verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord, and I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord." You know what God did? He gave him extra time. My friend, tonight, I want to say to you, if you're in this meeting and you don't know Christ this evening, God is giving you extra time. Every day is a gift from him. Every moment is a gift from him. Every time, my friend, in this meeting this evening that you hear the gospel, God is giving you another opportunity to turn, to be saved, to prepare your heart, to prepare to be meet your Maker, to meet God. Isn't that what it says in Amos? Prepare to meet thy God. He's given you time. He gave Hezekiah more time. My friend, tonight, your tomorrow is not guaranteed, but I want to say to you, the only time that you have left is a gift from God. So set your house in order. Set your life in order. Get right with God. Don't leave it any longer. Don't turn it off. Don't push it away. Don't push it aside. Come to Christ. Or will you come to Christ this evening? I believe God is dealing with young people, old people tonight in this meeting. They know they need to be saved. They know their life is over. They know their life is running out. Will you come while there's still time? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day brings forth. Now look with me. A man who got extra time. And I want to look at closing at a man who was running out of time. And I want to say, my friend, tonight, you're running out of time. You are running out of time. Speaking to a brother this morning who was talking about the days in which we live, and he was saying how he feels like it's never going to go back to as it was, and I think we can all agree with that. We're running out of time, aren't we? If you're a Christian, my friend, tonight, we're running out of time. If you're here tonight, you're not saved in this gospel meeting. You're running out of time. The Spirit of God is working in this meeting tonight, but let me tell you, there could be a time in which you keep rejecting Christ and you can never hear the gospel again. Perhaps you'll never have another opportunity. We don't know what a day may bring forth. But here's a man, and he was running out of time. He couldn't boast himself of tomorrow because he knew tomorrow wouldn't come. Luke chapter 23, we read of this final man who was running out of time. A man once preached a sermon from this text, and he called it 60 Minutes to Go. His life was to be over. You could say this man, he wasn't on a deathbed because he was on a cross, but he was on his deathbed. He was ready to meet God, we could say. He was about to meet God. And my friend tonight, I hope that none of you here tonight would be on your deathbed, but I hope that none of you here tonight would leave it till the deathbed, till you get right with God. Here was a man who was running out of time, whose time was about to be over. The Bible says in verse 39, he was a malefactor. He was hanging on the side, the cross on the side of the Lord Jesus. We know the story. The Bible passage tells us the Lord Jesus was in the middle and there was two thieves, two malefactors either side of him. In fact, both of these men were both in the same situation. Both of them knew that they were running out of time. They knew that their moments were over. They were ready to meet God. They needed to be ready, I should say, to meet God. They knew that it was very, very, very soon that life would be over. One of them missed it. We read about him. He railed upon it. He said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Even in his last moments, he kind of hoped that he had tomorrow. My friend, tonight, I wonder, are you in your last moments, my friend, this evening, and you still hoping that you have tomorrow? Think about that. A man on the cross who's dying, a dying man, and he's still boasting about tomorrow. Think about that. Look what it says. "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Lord, if you really are who you say you are, then you can save us. We read elsewhere, "Take us down from the cross so I can go back and live my life as I always wanted to live it." He was boasting of tomorrow. My friend tonight, how foolish. Even in the last moments of this man's life, he was still thinking about tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about God. Oh, it saddens me, my friend, tonight. We speak to people all the time who know they need to be saved. They know they need to come to Christ. And sometimes you want to grab them and shake them. We don't do this. And say, "Wake up. You are heading for hell. You are heading for an eternity without Christ." And they won't listen. And this is the kind of man he was. Wake up. You're about to meet your Maker. And you're still thinking about tomorrow. Oh, how sad tonight. You're still thinking and dreaming about what else you could steal. What else you could get for yourself. Rather than thinking about that day when you'll stand before God. My friend, you're running out of time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. In a moment, this man would give up the ghost. The old Bible way of saying he would die. And he'd be with his God. But there was one man, my friend, on the cross that day wasn't there, that was running out of time, and he knew it. He was honest about it. He knew deep down in his very heart that yes, he was running out of time, and yes, time would be over. Yes, he knew it. But he knew about his condition, and he was honest. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 40, the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God?" Reminds me of the story of John Harper on the Titanic, who was a preacher, and he, in those very moments when the Titanic was going down, it was sinking, he swam around in the waters to find men and women who were drowning, to tell them, he refused to get on the lifeboat, and he told them in those last moments, "You need to be saved." Do you know there were still people in that water that day, in those icy cold waters, who said, "I will not come. I won't turn." Think about that. This is what that man was doing. He was running out of time, and he still was thinking about tomorrow. My friend, look at this man. Does thou not fear God? Do you not fear that day, he was saying to the other thief, his co-thief, we could say, when you'll stand before our God and you'll have to give an answer for how you've lived your life, when every sin that you ever committed in thought, in word, in deed will be shown, when you will be judged according to the things that are written in the books, and nothing will miss the escaping eyes of God. I was thinking about this earlier, that some people think God they're like a policeman, don't they? They think that when the policeman's about, if you've ever been driving down a motorway at a certain speed and you see a traffic officer or something like that, everybody slows down, don't they? Or they see a man, I was driving back from Carlisle today, there was a man on top, I'm thankful I saw it, a man on top of the roof, and he was pointing his camera down to find people that were speeding, and everybody slows down, don't they? Or you see a camera, don't you, at the side of a road, and everybody slows down, and as soon as they get past that camera, what does every, well, I'm not saying everybody, but what does most people do? They go for again. Do you know, my friend, God isn't like that with our sin. He sees everything. Nothing escapes him. Oh, you can fool the law, you can fool the police, you can fool whoever you want to. You can't fool God. Do you not fear God this evening? Everything you've ever done will be brought that day before Him in judgment. Every word you've ever said, every deed you've ever done, every sin you've ever committed, everything you should have done and you didn't do will be shown that day. And there'll be no escaping that great day when you stand before God in judgment. You're running out of time. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Do you not fear God? Seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, do you not see that you're condemned? Do you not see that you're in death, that you are ready in moments to stand before God? Do you not see it? Do you not get it, my friend, that you're about to stand before God? And look, verse 41, and we indeed justly, we deserve what we're going to get. My friend, you might say, well, I'm going to argue with God that day when I stand before Him. I'm going to tell Him every single thing that I did and why I did it. And I'm going to give him my essay, as it were, my thoughts and my reasoning behind it. God will see my heart and He'll be okay. My friend, I deserve exactly what we get from God justly. There's no escaping it, my friend, tonight. You can't mess about with God in your sin. You can't mess about God with how you live your life. You can't give God excuses. You're running out of time. Look what it says, verse 41. We receive the due reward for our deeds. We deserve exactly what we're going to get. We're running out of time. But this man had done nothing amiss. The Savior has done nothing. He's pure, He's spotless. We're running out of time. Now I want to say to my friends this evening that are here, perhaps who are running out of time, who don't know the Saviour yet, I want to say, we can't boast ourselves of tomorrow. We can't boast ourselves of what we do or what we've done. But there is one thing you can boast in tonight. The cross of Christ. You can glory, you can hope, you can cling into what Jesus has done. And that's your only answer tonight, my friend. The only answer for your soul, my friend, tonight, is to come to Christ. That's the invitation that He gives. He says, throughout the Bible, come. You know, we find it in the first few chapters of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, when the Lord comes down at that garden of Eden, where man has sinned. And you know what really God is saying? He's looking for men to come. Even in that moment when they've rebelled against Him. We find it later in the book of Genesis when Noah built the ark and he said, come onto the ark, come onto that place of safety. We find it throughout the Bible, come, come. And I want to say to you, my friend, tonight, you might be in this gospel meeting and you might need to be saved. You might need to come to Christ. And there are many tonight in this room who need to be saved. And Jesus would say to you, my friend, as He said to this man here, come to Me. Come to Me with your sin. Thank God He's not calling you to come to Him to be clean, and be clean, as it were, yourself. You know, don't come to Christ and clean your life up. That's what some people think they have to do. I spoke to a man this morning, and two men who have been going to church all their life, and they told me, they said, you've given me food for thought. That's what they said. He said, this one man, I don't know how old he was, he probably was in his 80s, and he said, I know I have to give it all to Him. There are a lot of people, my friend, tonight, who need to come to Christ. They need to give it all to Christ. They need to believe on Him. And my friend, if you will come to Christ while there is still time, while there's still an opportunity, while you still have now and today, He will save you. He will cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll remove all your sin. There's not one sin, my friend, tonight that Jesus can't forgive. There's still time. You know what it says in Corinthians? It says this: behold, now is the well-accepted time. I don't have tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. But you have now. You have right now, my friend. And maybe God is dealing with you in this meeting tonight, and you know you need to come to Christ. You know you need to be saved. You know you need to be born again. And this is the meeting tonight in which God is dealing with you to come to Him. Will you come while there's still time? Or will you push it off and say tomorrow? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Say, I'll come to Christ when I'm older, when I've got time. How do you know you have older? How do you know you've got time? Say, I'll come to Christ when I'm a little bit older and I've lived my life. How do you know you're even going to have that time when you're older? How do you know you're even going to have your mind? You know, we guarantee, don't we, we're going to be able to have our mind all of our lives. How do you know? There won't be a day in which your mind will go and you've lost that opportunity. While there's time, while you're young or old, whatever you might be, this is the day. This is the moment. Come to Christ. You know, it rejoices my heart. And if you're a Christian here tonight, it should rejoice your heart to see people here tonight, young people, old people. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ should be. But I want to warn you, wherever you are tonight in this meeting, wherever you're at, time is running out. And while there is still time, I want to plead with you to come to Christ. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you of your sin. I once heard a man talk about a lady who was in her 80s. And she had lived a life where she'd rejected Christ for all of her 80 years. She put it off and put it off and put it off. This was in Northern Ireland. She put it off, she put it off, she put it off. Finally, she realized the time was running out. She said to the preacher, "Can God forgive a lady who's got 81 years worth of sin?" And the preacher said, "Yes, there's still time. Don't wait till you get to 80. Come now." I'm thankful, aren't you? We have seen even in this chapel how God has moved in people who are 80 and saved them. But don't leave it. Don't leave it. Don't leave it, because you don't know how much longer you have left. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Let's pray together. Bow our heads and close our eyes, please, tonight. And I do believe, my friend, that God is dealing with people tonight. I really sense that. But I can't make you a Christian. If I could, I would. But I can't. And the only one tonight that can make you a Christian is God Himself. Isn't that wonderful? I can't do it for you. But He can. And I plead with you, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, if you are out of time, you feel out of time, there's still time. Don't put it off any longer. Come to Christ tonight. Believe on Him while there's still an opportunity. Don't pass Him by. Let's pray together. And then we'll sing our final hymn. Heavenly Father, oh our God, we thank Thee. There still is time. Men and women still can be saved tonight. Lord, You promise that You will not cast anyone out that comes to Thee. You will nowise cast them out. Lord, that's what Thou hast said in Thy word. And we believe it, Lord. So, Lord, we look to Thee tonight. Please save. Old and young, save in this meeting. May there be conviction tonight like there's never been before. That's what we need. Conviction. And we pray, Lord, that people would be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together in closing. There's a hymn on the back of your sheet. If you've got a bulletin, it's on there. Or if you've been handed a sheet, there's one there. We wanted to sing this for a little while. This was written by a Scottish man. We've got a Scottish man with us tonight. "Once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, I felt not my load. Maybe you're here tonight in this meeting and you feel that way. I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand why you're talking about sin and danger, because I don't feel it. This man was young and he felt exactly the same way as you do. Though friends spoke in rapture, they spoke with delight, with longing about Jesus on the tree. Jehovah, Sekinu, the Lord is my righteousness, was nothing to me. It didn't mean anything to me. But as this hymn goes on, we see the man begins to understand it meant so much to him. He needed to be saved. And I hope tonight that you will come to Christ. This man, Robert Murray McShane, didn't take God seriously for most the early of his life, I think until he was 22. His brother died when he was young, when he was 25, who was very serious about God. And it shook him. It shook him. He wrote a hymn in response to it, "When This Passing World Is Done." That's why he wrote that hymn, because it shook him so much. My friend tonight, I can't shake anybody. God can shake you. But I do hope that you will come. Jehovah Sekinu. We'll sing it to "My Jesus, I Love Thee." You'll know the tune. I think people know this hymn tonight. There's a few verses, but we'll sing it because it's a good hymn. Let's stand together and sing this hymn together tonight.
I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. No friends spoke in rapture of Christ.
I came. And I tell you, my friend, tonight, God does not want you to live in fear of your sin. He doesn't want you to live under condemnation. A lot of people today that preach hell, fire, and all the rest of it. And that's right, there is hell. There's no doubt about that, my friend. But God doesn't want you to be condemned. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. And look, when terrors all vanish, how do they vanish? How does your guilty fears vanish? When you come to Christ. He's the answer. Let's really sing it out, this next verse, please. Really lift up. If you know the Lord Jesus tonight, this is your testimony, isn't it? Everything that's been gone when I've come to Christ. To drink of that fountain, life-giving. Lord, it is life-giving and free. Isn't that wonderful? No cost to pay. Nothing to add, nothing to contribute. Let's really sing it out, these last few verses, please.